And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can go to the Facebook page, www.facebook.com/NAG Blank Canvas. That's capital N, capital A, capital G, capital B, Blank Canvas. And you can see photos of who's been on the show, and you can thumbs up us or whatever you might want to do. Also, if you're just tuning in right now, sometimes people are like, oh, I missed the beginning of the show, or they're listening in their car and they're on their way somewhere and then they have to get out of the car and they, of course, don't want to get out because the show is so awesome and interesting. So now we are posting the MP3s of each show after it's aired onto our own website, www.nagb.org.bs. Scroll down to the bottom of the screen in the news section. It will show you who was just on the show, and you can click on that and you can listen to the show again at your leisure. I also have to give shout-outs to all my listeners, so thank you everyone listening, and especially to Gregory, who the other night came to the National Art Gallery for an event, and he said he always listened to the show, and I said, well, then I'm going to give you a shout-out. So thank you, everyone that does listen. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate that people are interested in the cultural community. So, you know, keep listening, but then also show up, go out to things. The art world is very friendly, and we love meeting new people, and we love having a really broad, diverse group of people come to different events and openings, and they're generally free. You know, sometimes people call the gallery and say, oh, do I have to pay? You know, no, nothing's, you know, when we have an opening that is for open for the public, the National Art Gallery itself is always free every Sunday for all Bahamians. So, you know, we really try to make it a very open thing. So please, what I want you to show up, please, this week for is Ryan Turnquest's exhibition, which is at Gallery, which is on Village Road. Ryan, we just met, introduced before the break. He studied at COB, did his associates, then he went off to SCAD as a young man to study industrial design. But he gave that up to come home and take care of his children and join his dad in the family business. And as he shared with us just before the break, he had just been awarded the Lifer Key Scholarship, which is a huge deal. So you must be, you know, really talented, because they don't award that to just anybody. And Ryan had to turn that down to stay home and be here for the family. And he got off on another track and was, you know, far away from his passion, and then had this very tragic incident happen with his brother when they were putting their boats away in Nassau Harbor, and his brother's dinghy was hit by the Defense Force, who were allegedly speeding in the harbor, and his brother Chris was immediately killed. And that led Ryan to go back to his art and to try to kind of work through this tragedy, which I think is a really strong testament to, like, what creativity can do and what art can do. Is, you know, really, it's a way for a lot of people to meditate. It's a lot of people to kind of work through emotions they're having. You know, in a lot of countries, they use it as therapy for people that have had a traumatic experience. And I went to see the paintings the other day at Dungalik. I got a little preview, and I had a lot of questions, but I'm sharing them now because I didn't want to preview. So it's a very expressive style. Like, your paintbrush is very, like, gestural, and, you know, so it's you can see figures, but there's a lot of kind of just strokes and dashes, and it's very colorful. And there were a lot of different characters. So now I already understand there was Neptune in one of them, and that's the one that's on the invitation, is a sort of big picture of Neptune, the god of the sea, as you kind of imagine him from, say, The Little Mermaid, with his trident, and he's looking very kind of manly. And then there's the Little Mermaid sitting there. So and I was really wondering, like, what's that all about? So that's obviously connected to your boating.
Definitely.
Yeah. And anything else in there? It's a really beautiful image. It's got, like, it's very majestic.
Well, that the old piece there was to demonstrate the, you know, the power of the ocean. You know, mm-hmm. When you go under there, you know, you're diving for conch and mm-hmm. you know, sparing lobster and stuff. It's something that not every Bahamian has the opportunity to see. And you know, that's something that we did. We loved. It was actually something we were just actually learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, the whole painting is just to express, you know, the power of the ocean. Mm-hmm. You know, its beauty.
Yeah.
And
It is extraordinary. I used to work at Stewart Coves, actually, when I was younger, and I used to take people out on dives. And I always said, you know, when you're down there at the bottom of the ocean and you look across, it's like you realize there's a whole second landscape down there. It's a whole other planet, yeah,
it's
basically.
It's magical, you know.
It's so completely magical. And you see mountains and hills and savannas, and you basically see a whole other world. And especially at night, if you do night dives and all the animals come out. And the Little Mermaid is there. Obviously, he passed in the sea, so he's now... somehow that was his last resting place.
Yeah, the Little Mermaid was just a representation. You know, she wanted to be part of the
land and the sea.
Yeah, you know, yep. So that was in there just to show that, you know, we could merge to, you know, we could be in the sea, live on the land. It's a good experience.
Mm-hmm. And the show itself is called A Whole New World, so obviously that refers to the ocean as well, and I suppose also to where he's now gone. And the subtitle is Journey to Neverland. So, you know, obviously which Disney song? I can even hear it in my head. A Whole New World. Which song is that?
That's Aladdin.
Is that Aladdin? There you go. That's when they're flying. Exactly. Yeah. They're flying on the magic carpet, you know. Tell me a little bit about that. So he had a nickname, apparently. So.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a lot of little kids in our family. I got two little ones of my own. My mom has three daughters, all under the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
Disney in your house, a lot of princesses.
Yeah, you know, and his thing was he terrorized the kids.
Yeah.
In a loving way.
Yeah.
You know, so they loved to be around him. Every child loved to be around him.
Yeah.
You know, so he was like a Peter Pan, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's where we got the Journey to Neverland from. You know,
okay.
As a matter of fact, even at this memorial service, the kids sang, I don't know if you know the song, Ruth B.
Yeah, sure.
Lost Boy.
Yeah.
They actually sung that at the funeral.
Well, and that's very touching too, because now somehow he is a lost boy, right? So he's lost to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you haven't seen the main piece for the show yet.
No. Well, you have to tell us about it. Can you describe it? Are you allowed to?
I'd like to save it.
Okay, save it. Then everyone has to come to the opening. But there was a piece that, again, it had Tinkerbell. So I was seeing all these things, and at the time I didn't want to ask. So obviously Tinkerbell then refers to this nickname that he had of being this Peter Pan, of being this kind of boyish, life-loving, probably mischievous.
Yes, definitely mischievous, full of life, the life of the party. You know, he always loved the celebration, you know. So... a lot of my paintings took a path of like that magical, like mysterious kind of thing. And a serious aspect that I added to it was, you know, the whole thing about being your boats being lit on the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have a special segment of the show on Friday that we'll shut off the lights.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how magical it gets.
Yeah, so we won't tell everyone, but something very special happens. You used a particular technique, and there's a reference there to the sort of the light of your brother's, you know, life, and again, like you said, this idea of sort of, you know, boats out on the harbor, you know, and the lights coming on at night. So and can you speak a little bit about how this is possibly helping the family? Do they come and do they watch your process? Are they sharing in the paintings? Are they suggesting themes? Because, I mean, there's a lot of these little characters of the girl saying, like, oh, we want to see Tinkerbell? Or is it just all you and they're going to see the unveiling at the opening as well?
Well, I've been giving Facebook, my family, everybody, just mm-hmm. a little preview here and there so mm-hmm. they can see, you know, Ryan actually working towards this show.
Mm-hmm.
And my family has been a big support mm-hmm. in the process. You know, my kids love the surprise aspect of it, the one that we'll all see when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they like the topics, the characters that we, you know, we put the characters on it, but it doesn't look like a cartoon.
And not at all. And in fact, I'm probably not explaining it well. So people probably think it's like, you know, like they're going to come and see a cartoon, but it's not. They're mostly like in silhouette. You almost don't notice them at first. They're very sort of secondary characters in a way. Like there's definitely something else going on with the paintings. They made me think a little bit of Antonius Roberts, that technique, that kind of, again, that very gestural technique with a lot of layers of color. So there's really like a lot going on in the paintings that are... that there's nothing to do with Disney at all, but they're these kind of little like references in a way. So I knew there must be something because they were like this little hook, in a way. But yeah, like very, and how is it, I mean, do you feel like as you're moving through that you're finding your way again? Like, how was it to pick up the brush, like, for the first time? And how long has it been? 10 years? 15 years? I mean, what's the...
It's been nine.
Nine. So years. In a decade, you haven't done anything. What was that, you know, what was that like? I mean, you had to get up in the morning and go buy the paintbrush. Like, and then to do it, to squeeze that paint out and to make that first stroke. Like, and do you feel that as you go through, it's changing for you, that you're, you know, you're getting back into the groove? Or did you just... Pick up where you left off.
The funny thing is, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, mm-hmm. I actually went to the store and bought some supplies.
Okay.
But I never did anything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they probably sat there like saying to you, Ryan, you haven't touched us. Right?
I think I did hear that in the background.
Yeah, it's like me. It's like me in my exercise shorts.
I could use a pair of those too.
Yeah.
But. Well, I thought I was going to have to knock off a lot of rust. You know, it took me a while to, you know, remember certain techniques, like, you know, directions that I took when I was painting, you know. And where I'm at now, I'm very excited. I keep telling everyone that's viewing the pieces and coming back and saying, like, wow, you actually backed. And, you know, it's been a good journey, like, these last, 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the pieces were done from October, like 21st maybe,
mm-hmm.
through now, and you can see the progression.
Mm-hmm.
The brush strokes are getting better,
mm-hmm.
you know, back on track where I was. And
we're probably becoming more confident.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. It's a bit like, again, you know, people say it's like riding a bike, but you know, the first time you're a bit wobbly, right? And then you know, kind of have to,
definitely. You know, initially when we first started, I started off, you know, we use a lot of references when we're painting.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always used references.
Mm-hmm.
The last maybe 6-7 pieces, I've been able to just generate the creativity just directly, mm-hmm. from my mind, and mm-hmm. just go from my mind straight to the canvas. It's been amazing. I even when I was in school and really into the arts, I did not have the kind of creativity and like passion that I'm painting with now. You know, when we were younger and we were painting and getting into the art industry, a lot of us were painting for the financial side of it, mm-hmm. just to raise some money to get to school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we pretty much, like, we were rushing and just, you know, trying to get the paintings
out. You just hit a nail on the head. Yeah. Yeah.
I think if a lot of us had the opportunity where the main thing of painting wasn't to make money,
mm-hmm.
and it was just about that passion and to express yourself,
mm-hmm.
the creativity would be on a whole new level. And that's what I've been experiencing. So... It's been a very, 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 very good 4 months for me.
That's fantastic. Yeah, well, I think you just really hit a nail on the head there, which is that, you know, an artist needs time and space. And I think if there's a pressure, if they feel there's a pressure, you know, again, a financial pressure or a time pressure, you do feel it in the canvas, absolutely. And you see that. You see the rushing. You can tell when work has been made, like with an order in mind, you know, or if the artist has been given that space. And again, it's like a horrible tragedy that this was the thing that gave you the time and space, the loss of your brother. But it's really interesting to hear about how that process is kind of, again, feeding itself, right? That you said at first, you know, you need to look somewhere for inspiration. And then as you kind of keep that, because it's like a muscle. And it's like a muscle. And if you exercise it, it starts to be able to do the thing better. And that you're just now kind of like you've untapped something, right? You've untapped something in your subconscious or in your brain that is just, you know, unleashing you in this new direction. So that's really, really exciting. So again, we've used up the next segment, so we're going to quickly go to another break. And just want to reiterate to the audience that we're speaking to Ryan Turnquest. Ryan is hosting his own exhibition at Dungalik Studios. It's all new work. It's all dedicated to the memory of his brother who passed away in a very tragic accident in October. And all the proceeds, and maybe we'll speak a little about that after the break, is going to the benefit of young marine explorers. So you will be hearing more from Ryan right after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.